Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. This is your host, Clint Locklear. We're going to talk about some things going on in the world today, about being a man, not being ashamed of man. We're not woman haters by any stretch. Women are awesome. But I had an email that I thought was interesting. I've said many times that the government today is feminine. And I guess to me it makes sense, but maybe I didn't explain it well enough. And, you know, because the government has, you know, police, it'll throw you in jail. This is kind of what the email was saying. And has military and the IRS and different things like that. The enforcement part of the government, yeah, is not very feminine, but the government as a whole, the way it looks at us today, is very effeminate, like a mother. And not just like a mother in a good healthy term, like a helicopter parent. So I'm going to make the case today what a helicopter parent is, and I'm going to make some points about why the United States government in 2020 are like helicopter parents, and they are hurting their children, which we are not their children, but they see us as their children, and they must control everything that we do for our own safety. Before we get into today's show, I want to thank our sponsors, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Funky has got a full line of trapping supplies. He's got all kind of catfish stuff. He's now got my catfish bait up there while it lasts. I've got another batch rolling. He's got all kind of deer products. If you're getting to where you want to start seeing what's on your deer property, check out Tactical Nuke. He's got that. He's got all kind of hog stuff. He's got predator calls. If you're, you know, just a manly man that wants to go out and do some manly things, Funky Trap Tags and Supplies probably got you back. He's an honest guy. It's an honest company. They ship out pretty much every 24 hours. It is, you don't have to worry about any of the headaches of dealing with online stuff where you're not sure when you're going to get it or what you're going to get. Just good people to deal with. Helicopter parents. We've heard this term. I've heard this forever. I didn't grow up with this concept. I can't remember. I'm 51, and I cannot remember any of the kids that I ever ran around with in two different states, because I went back and forth between my mom and dad. I don't remember any instances that stuck out in my mind growing up where there was helicopter parents anywhere. It was a foreign concept. It was not, it still was just not the way that parents were. But, you know, then we started going through, and all of the hippies of the 60s started getting all their, you know, becoming college professors, and they started talking about self-esteem, and everybody should get a trophy, and kids need to be protected, and all of this stuff. And these books, and parents are trying to do the right thing, and they read these well-meaning people that say stuff, but they never think about the long-term consequences of what they're saying. Overprotecting of a kid makes a weak kid. Weak. Mentally weak. And I guarantee you, physically weak. And as long as a parent can keep that kid inside of that bubble of home, it can almost seem like it works. Because the mom or the dad, if the dad's doing this, he's definitely acting effeminate and he's not doing his job. But every time something goes on, they're in the kid's business. They want to know every single thing that happened in sports. They're going to talk to the coach. They're going to talk to the kids. They're never going to think anything was the kid's fault. It's always the parents. I've heard several times on talk radio over the years, a kid does something atrocious and gets kicked out, and the parents go up and want to blame the principal or the teachers or something like that. See, that's a form of helicopter parenting. They can't even take responsibility of what a bad thing is because they're so blinded by their kids being so perfect, which they're not, that they can't conceive that their kid would ever do anything at school or to a friend or on Facebook or anything like that. And I do believe helicopter parents are well-meaning. We just somehow transition from parents letting kids be kids and figure things out and be problem solvers to parents want to do everything. They're doing their homework. They're doing their science stuff. Their kids aren't going out and cutting grass because it's dangerous. They got to be in eye's view of all time because the world is so dangerous, and statistically that is absolutely horseshit. It's more safer now to be a kid than it was when I was a kid. You may not think so because the media does a good job of scaring the bejesus out of you every day. But statistically, it's much safer today to be a kid roaming around than it ever was when I was. And we all did it. And hardly anything ever happened. There's parents today that are bucking against this helicopter parenting, and the law, the government, the effeminate American government of the day, is trying to force them to be helicopter parents. And a lot of people have went to jail. Kids have been taken away because the parents want the kids to learn on their own. Wow, the world has changed. So, what is a helicopter parent? And as I go through these, I want you to put in the back of your mind what's going on today with COVID-19. What's going on today with unemployment a lot of times? What's going on with all of the social programs coming out of Washington, D.C.? What's coming out with the health recommendations from the government? And as we go through some of this helicopter parenting, it's going to become pretty clear that the government is, yes, feminine. That's the reason Trump is having such a hard time, because you put an alpha male with a bunch of extremely feminine men and women, there's going to be conflict. And most of those effeminate men and women were not grown to be real problem solvers, so what do? They get nasty. Which is part of the problem of being a helicopter parent's kid. So, what is the definition of a helicopter parent? I went to the internet and pulled up several of them. They're all say about the same, but a parent who takes is overprotective or has excessive interest in the life of the child or children. There's a lot of different little sub things about that, but that kind of breaks it down. They have an excess and obsessive interest in the life of their children. We've all seen these parents. If you go to anything like a playground that has monkey bars and stuff like that, or kid starts climbing a tree, which kids are supposed to do, and they're supposed to fall out of them, and they're going to learn that you better hold on, because that's just part of life. But these parents are always they're worried they're going to fall 2 feet down to the little rubber mat. So they're under them with their arms up there in case they fall. Why? They don't want them coming down a slide unless they're on the bottom so they can catch them. If they do anything that could ever, under any circumstances, cause harm to the child, or the child causes harm to yourself, they run over and save their child. Kind of like what's going on right now with COVID-19. I don't know if y'all know this. There's been several doctors now that's come out. One of them had a video on YouTube, or two of them did actually, that were doctors that are treating COVID-19 patients. They're looking at the numbers, and they're saying it's not near as bad as what the media and the politicians are putting out. Which is complete opposite of what the guy that Trump has talking about this all the time. Now, there's a lot of conspiracy about him being from the vaccine industry, which he is. And I'm hoping that that's not his reasoning for doing this. But they were going off of projected models of what this was going to do in a population. And just like global warming and just like every other thing that these models do, they're wrong. Because there's reality. There's a really cool book, guys. If you want to read something that'll blow your mind, read Anti-Fragile. You can get it on a Kindle. You can read it on the phone. You can listen to it. They have an audio version, which I'm probably going to get because it's not the easiest book to read because the dude is very smart and he uses words that sometimes you got to look at for about 3 minutes trying to figure out what he's actually saying. Anti-fragile is the opposite of fragile. Children that are helicopter parents are fragile. You're not helping your child, you're hurting your child. Anti-fragile means, think about it in terms of a package. You're going to send your grandmama's china to your sister because she's got a dinner party coming up and she wants the china. So what do you do with the fragile china? Well, you're going to wrap it in foam bubbles, and then you're going to wrap that in more foam bubbles, then you're going to pack it with paper, then you're going to put styrofoam on the outside of the box. And then you're going to tape it up real good so nothing can move. And then you're going to stamp fragile all over it. Now, if I order, I don't know, a weightlifting bar from Rogue, you know what I've never seen on the package of something I get from Rogue is fragile. It's freaking steel. It's steel. So if they drop it, who cares? They kick the box, they're going to hurt their feet. It's not fragile. You know, it's kind of like if you had something that was anti-fragile, you would put on the box, anti-fragile, break if you can. See the difference between fragile, grandmama's china, trying to wrap it up, protect it, all this type of stuff, because it's fragile. It breaks easy. A power bar from Rogue, they could put on the box, good luck trying to hurt it. Anything you do to it is not going to hurt. It's not fragile. It's anti-fragile. So if you're looking for a book that'll open your mind on a lot of this, because I think it would help with parents, even though there's nothing in there about parenting, it's the book Anti-Fragile. We're going to be talking about this quite a bit because it's amazing. But when you look at economies and governments and everything in our life, fragile is something that cannot handle any shocks, just like grandmama's china. Now, anti-fragile not only can handle shocks, it gets better from shocks. So when a kid is on monkey bars and he's not paying attention and he just loses his grip because he's watching a butterfly or something, and he falls down, and he doesn't like the way it feels when he hits the ground, that kid is now more anti-fragile than he was before he fell. I mean, growing up, I fell out of trees all the time. And I admit, I stayed in a cast. It seemed like half the time I was growing up. But you know what I'm not? I'm not fragile. Every time I hurt myself, I got stronger. Kids that never get hurt are weak because they don't learn the lessons that come with pain. Now, I know that scares a mother to death. Well, that's why when you're supposed to raise your children to their, you know, when they're young, and then you start letting the dad take over as his job is to get him ready for real life, and it's not in the bubble of mothering. But see, our government is all about mothering. And they have a system now in place where the stock market is fragile. Our pensions are fragile. Any type of shock to the system, like a virus, causes fragile to go crazy because it's not used to it. But we've all grew up with the flu, right? What these doctors that are actually treating patients, when you take in the numbers of people that have COVID-19, the number of patients that actually go into the hospital and the ones that actually die, they're now thinking the death rate on COVID-19 from doctors that aren't political, but actually in the field with patients, is about 1 0.02 deaths per 100. We're talking about something that may not be as bad as the normal flu we grew up with. Now, it does transmit quicker. That's obvious. So, what does an anti-fragile system do? Because we have two systems to look at right now. Switzerland, which is, you know, I get tickled every time Bernie Sanders brings up Switzerland because it is the opposite of big government. Switzerland is basically what America was designed to do, but we screwed it up. Switzerland is a bunch of little city-states. There is a main government, but the main government can't really force the other ones to do anything because they control their taxes, their money, their rules. It's kind of like what states were supposed to do here in America, but we don't. We want big daddy pimp government to take care of everything. But see, Sweden, the beauty of actually having small city states, or like, think about our states, or even smaller than that would be better, you can't get a whole bunch of people along to do the same thing because people are different. And if it doesn't work in one region, they're not going to go along with it because it's not going to work for them. So they just go, yeah, y'all go ahead and knock yourself out. We're going to stick doing what we're doing. So what Switzerland is doing is they're working on an anti-fragile system because they live in an anti-fragile system. They're working on herd immunity. They didn't close the theaters and the restaurants and the parks and everything like that. But what did we do as a fragile society from a mothering government that wants to be a helicopter parent? You want to quarantine all the healthy people. So we're not working on herd immunity. That's not right. Shoot, having a brain fart here. Well, we can't deal with this new virus whatsoever. Immunity, that's it. So there's been a lot of talk, and I've read some stuff of what's going to happen when they turn us loose, and all the healthy people have been in there, and there's a couple of sick people. Well, the numbers are going to raise back up. And there's all kind of studies coming out showing that, you know, like 25% of California's already had it. A whole lot of people are thinking they already had it. When I came back from Cancun in January, went through the airport with all these Asians wearing masks, which I thought was weird, I had some really funny symptoms for about a week. Was that COVID-19? I have no idea, but I've never felt anything like it, and I just rocked on. I bet almost everybody that went through that airport came in contact with that virus, if that's what it was. So why am I in quarantine? If you don't have it, why are you in quarantine? See, that's a helicopter parent's way of going about to fix the problem. You want to be overzealous in protection. Especially since we have more facts now. We have real data and not models. It's just kind of weird. Because, you know, land of the free and home of the brave, now with the helicopter parents as the government. Dude, you can't have both. You're either going to be fragile or you're going to be anti-fragile. There's a psychiatrist that talks about raising children. Here's her three rules for children. How to begin to educate a child. First rule, leave them alone. Second rule, leave them alone. Third rule, leave them alone. D.H. Lawrence. You can look her up online. It's pretty cool stuff. Because really, the reason I think it's cool stuff, it's because of the childhood that I had. It's probably the childhood that you had if you're over the age of 40. Modern day 20-something year old parents would freak out if children acted the same today as they did then. They would have a mental breakdown. But you know the difference between my generation and the generation that's coming behind? We were problem solvers because we had to solve problems every single day. Now the parents solve the problems and they have fragile children. So helicopter parents. They have excess interest in the life of the child. They do a lot of over-parenting, over-controlling, over-protecting, and over-perfecting of their children. Now, this both goes for physical and psychological. Over-parenting, over-controlling, over-protective, and over-perfecting. Both physical and psychological. Kind of think about COVID-19. Kind of think about how the government looks at racists. Let that sink in a little bit. How that's how the government looks at the difference between men and women. Overparenting, overcontrolling, overprotecting, and overperfecting. Now see, my generation is very different. I'm going to tell you some things that I just thought of up top of my head in about 30 seconds. We used to play war, which probably now you would parents would lose the children, but we did it with BB guns with BBs. The only rule that the parents put on this was we had to wear goggles because you could lose an eye. So we would go out day and night. It was much more fun at night. And we would go out and we would separate in teams and we all had our BB guns. Now keep in mind, this is in the day when basically the only thing you had was the Daisy BB guns that could puncture an eye, but it never really punctured her skin. So it wasn't that powerful. This isn't like the new pellet guns now that can go through plywood. Very different. Parents knew this. So we had to put on goggles, you know, the kind like that completely cover your eyes like you're in a wood shop or something. And we'd have to wear a hat, and we'd have to wear a coat, and we'd have to wear blue jeans and gloves. So no one ever got penetrated by a BB gun. But let a parent do that today, they're going to jail and they will lose their children. We did this for years. We weren't special. Almost everybody I knew loved playing this game. It was awesome. It taught you great lessons. The difference between concealment and getting behind something and actually stop a BB, you learn pretty quick. That's why when you watch people that make movies today, they think if you get behind some leaves that you're protected from a bullet. You're not. You learn that with BBs. You learn that you have to work as a team or you're going to get shot. You're going to learn there's some people that are better shots than others. So if you want to be up on that skill level, you got to practice. We played with older kids, little kids, in-between kids. We had a blast. Actually played Army with BB guns. I used to, being in the 5th and 6th grade, I don't even know what age that is, but I can remember the grade. I used to love playing basketball with these older black guys over in Columbus, Georgia. Now, we lived in Phenix City, Alabama. So I would get on my bike in the morning. I may or may not tell my parents where I'm going. And when they found out, it was no big deal. I would get on a bike and I would pedal all the way through Phenix City, Alabama, which is a city. I would cross a 2-lane bridge on a bicycle. I would go through the hood of Columbus, Georgia to get to the it's not Boy Scouts. It's a club. Oh, shoot. I don't know if they have them anymore. But they're community things that have basketball, football, baseball, stuff like that. And it would just be guys. The girls had their own ones. And I would go over there 18 miles through two cities. Play basketball. As far as I can remember, I never ate anything. I drank water out of the water fountain. And then I would ride 18 miles back and eat dinner. You would go to jail today. You know the lessons that are taught about riding a bike through two cities in a hood? You're going to learn some lessons pretty quick, and they last for the rest of your life. We would be gone all day parents wouldn't ask where we were going. We would just show back up about dark. Unless we were going to stay at someone's house and we didn't have to let them know. They never asked. None of my friends' parents ever ask. It was amazing the freedom that that gave us. We would make up games. We would play football. We would play basketball. We would go play tennis. We would go fishing. We would do this. But to see the greatest thing about all that is you had a bunch of kids with no adults that had to set the rules. The rules of the basketball game, the rules of the football game, the rules of any game. You know, even if it was throwing the lawn darts up, that's probably illegal now because it's basically a spike you throw up 100 feet in the air and you try not to let it hit you on the way back down. If it hit you somewhere, it didn't really, you know, like slice you in two, but it would leave a hole. You learned if you throw something up, it's going to hurt you on the way down. And we learned in rules that you had to compromise. See, that's something kids don't understand today. We had to actually compromise rules. And then we had to enforce the rules ourselves because we didn't have a referee. And you learn pretty quickly who were people that would follow the rules and didn't follow the rules. And the people that didn't follow the rules were ostracized because they kept screwing up the game. They learned if they tried to cheat, they were gone. And we learned how to handle people that were cheaters. See, we got to set the rules. Kids don't get to set the rules. They go from one practice to the next, one event to the next. The parents have turned into taxi cab drivers for kids that are never allowed to think for themselves. Very different. Now, what are some things that happen to children that have been shown over and over again? And you can look all this up online. You will find 100 more. I just picked some of them. What happens to children that have helicopter parents? Now, I want you to think about this in this term. What happens to adults that have a helicopter government? You're going to see some massive similarities going on here. And I'd say it's going to get worse when the children of today also have a helicopter parents because they're getting a double dose of being fragile. That double dose is going to, I don't know how bad that's going to screw people up. It is proven that parents that overprotect their children, the children have undeveloped brains. So congratulations, helicopter parents. You're actually hurting the brain function of your children. You're not helping them. You're hurting them. When we all get together and talk about America today, do we talk about how intelligent everybody is we meet? No. You don't even have to know how to read to get out of high school now. That's pretty obvious because when you look at the statistics, most high schoolers can't read at an eighth grade level. So how in the hell are they getting out of high school? So you pass them. They go to a job. I'm gonna tell a story, and I felt so bad for this guy. So bad. I mean, empathy was overflowing from me about this guy. Because you could tell he was as embarrassed as I was embarrassed for him. So we moved to this new property. I used to have a whole permaculture yard where I had crap growing everywhere, on everything, under everything, over everything. I had food everywhere. So we moved to this new property, and part of the rules that my wife set in place that I agreed to is that I cannot turn our yard into a jungle. She wants it to look the way it looks now when we bought it. That was our agreement. I'm going to stick to it. So it comes time for spring. We want to have herbs to cook with. We want to have some tomatoes and stuff like that. So if I can't put it in the ground, I got to put it in pots. So I went down to Big Lots and here in Rockwood, and I spent a lot of money on pots. So now we've got tomato plants and basil and mints and thyme and oregano and rosemary, and we got all, they're in pots. I can deal with that. But when I went to pay for it, I bought $221 worth of pots. I go up to the register. And the guy sitting there is about 28, 29, maybe 30 years old. He tells me what it is. I pull out my money. I count it out. I hand it to him. He sits there and he's trying to count this in his hand. And he cannot do it. He kept saying the 50's messing me up because the 10's and 20's are even and the 50 was an odd. See, he never had to solve problems as a child to go, okay, if that's the issue, then say a 50's, two 20's, and a 10. So they're still even. He couldn't count it. So I said, I'll tell you what, I'll put it out. I'll count it in 100 so you can see what it is. He goes, okay, now there's a line backing up. So I count out 100 in 20s, in a 50, in a 10, and I show him it's the money. And you can tell he doesn't trust me because he thinks I'm trying to get over with him. So I said, I'll tell you what, do your calculator with me as I count this out, and you'll see that it's the right amount of money. So he has to grab a calculator. As I count out the money again, now there's like 10 people behind us, and they're all looking at a guy that cannot count money. And I bet you if one-third of the people in line couldn't do it either. So with the calculator and with me counting out loud, he realized that it was the right amount of money. So then he plugs it in his machine. It tells him how much change to give me. He gives me a change and I leave. I felt terrible for him. How embarrassing that would be with people realizing you can't count. As a grown man. Not in fourth grade. As a grown man. Undeveloped brains. They are emotional unstable. They cannot handle problems. Why is that hard to believe? Just like Americans, why is it hard to believe they can't handle problems on their own? Because they've never had to. They go to school. Parents do their homework. Parents tell them they're the greatest. Parents tell them they're the best. Parents take them to all these organized things. They go to college. It repeats itself. Everything now in college is graded on a curve because no one's really going to pass if it wasn't. And then they get out in the real world, and if they have problems, there's a social program for them. How do you expect people to be able to handle their own problems? How do you expect kids to handle their own problems if you're fixing their problems all the time? They're emotionally unstable. All of the shootings of the schools with the kids, that should ring a bell with you. So instead of building more anti-fragile children, we medicate them with hallucinogenics. They already have an underdeveloped brain, and they're emotionally unstable, and we put them on a drug like that. And then we all sit around and we go, how in the world did they go and shoot that school up? Why are the kids so depressed today? Why are the kids so anti-fragile when it comes to social media? They also have low self-esteem and confidence. They know they've never done nothing in their whole life. Nothing. See, I can think back of going fishing when I was young, and I would try to dig worms. One day I couldn't get the worms. I couldn't find worms. It was very dry in the middle of summer. So I'm looking around. I want to catch fish. And I start working the problem. So I found this old door screen that someone cut out and threw in the woods. I tied a bunch of string to all the corners in the middle. I would lay it down where I could see it in the pond. I would put the bait in the middle, and lo and behold, the fish would come up to eat the bait. I'd jerk the string. The screen would surround the fish. I would have the fish. That's working a problem. See, I figured out how to do that with no freaking adults needed. Kids today don't get that. Americans today don't get that. They don't get how important that is. They also have immature coping skills. They get frustrated in their tolerance of anything that's not in the normal, which shows how fragile people are because they can't handle any shocks. That's part of helicopter parenting. That's part of helicopter government. They get mad at anything that doesn't go exactly right. But they can't work on it because they don't have problem-solving skills. Now, when you get these people in the workforce, they're the ones that are going to have the most trouble for the rest of their life. They're going to have underpaying jobs because an employer is only going to pay them for what they can do for the company. If they can't fix anything or solve problems, they're basically a machine that's just going to do a task over and over again. That type of income is not near as much as someone that solves problems. They're handicapped because of helicopter parenting. They have mental health problems. Very common with helicopter kids. That's why so many of them are on drugs. As far as I know, all the friends I had growing up, nobody took medication. Nobody. Now, it's like eating M&Ms or Skittles. Mental health problems because of helicopter parenting. They have a sense of entitlement complex. Why wouldn't they have a sense of entitlement complex? The whole world has been there for them and they didn't have to do anything except breathe, eat, and take a dump. Yeah, they're going to have entitlement complex. Helicopter parenting. They have a meanness and aggressiveness about them. Now, what the psychiatrists say about this, I find very interesting. It's the reason I think a lot of grown men act the way that they do immaturely. They're trying some way, desperately, to get a little bit of agency in their own life where they feel like they have some type of control. See, if everything is done for you, you don't have any control. If everything is done around you, you have no control. Boys especially, they need to have agency. So how do they handle this? With bullying and being aggressive. Immaturity is what that is. And it's a mental problem at this point because they're screaming out to let them be a human being. And parents and the government won't let them. Now, why do helicopters' parents do this? Or helicopter governments? They fear for the children because they think that they're incapable of taking care of themselves. A lot of it has to do with social media pressures today, the news. If you let your kids go out and play war games with BB guns and goggles, you're going to prison, and everybody's going to say, look how bad of a parent they are. I'd never do that. Social media pressures. How do you not be a helicopter parent? Let your kids be kids and do stuff. Yeah, they're going to get hurt. It's good for them. Let me say that again. It is good for them to feel some pain. They learn from it. The problem is kids that never feel pain, they don't have an immune system. They're always super clean. We were nasty, filthy little beings when I was young. Everybody was. We sweated all day. We're in the mud, the dirt. Wrestling, I mean, we had a cold, nobody gave a crap, we're going to do something. Not today. An example is like homework. If your kid doesn't know the answer to something and you give it to them, are you being a good parent or a bad parent? So I'm going to say bad parent, even if that hurts your feelings. What's the long-term consequences of that? You're not going to have a kid that's going to be a problem solver. When they have to be a problem solver, don't be surprised when they get caught cheating on tests. You've taught them not to be a problem solver. We used to get in scuffles as a kid all the time. Someone would cheat at the rules, you'd call them out, they'd be embarrassed, before you know it, there's a couple of swings, roll around in the dirt. Nobody ever got hurt. When it was over with, no one thought about it 20 minutes later. Do you know what that teaches a kid? To be flexible in their thinking. Now, I want you to think about all of the crap that we've been putting up with political correctness in the last how many years. There's no flexibility in the thinking of helicopter kids. None. Because they've never been put in situations that they had to think. Memorizing the test, parents, is not thinking. Knowing a formula is not thinking. It's regurgitating. See, you learned that you couldn't let people bully you when I was a kid. And the bullies learned that they couldn't be a bully because eventually someone's going to bloody that nose. That's great for children. We don't have that anymore. Now, what does that mean for Americans today with a helicopter government? You've got buttholes running around that get up in people's faces, jump in line, do all this stuff, because in their little world, they're the most important person in it because they've always been that way because of their parents and their government. What America really needs is like a 3-year rule. That if someone's a complete butthole just for being a butthole, you should be able to lay them out. Not put them in the hospital. Not kill them. But I mean, not maybe lose a few teeth. And if you go to the judge and you go, that's my first time, this is why I did it, he's been an asshole. Judge should be able to go, yep, you got two left. Do you think our society would be near what it is today with how just people are up in everybody's faces and screaming and hollering and road rage? And no. Those people would learn pretty quick. It hurts to be a peckerhead to somebody else just because I'm being a whiny little bitch. 3 times a year. A lot of the problems in America would be gone if we could pass that law. There's been some studies going all the way down to rats that if the parents over-groom them and lick them too often when they shouldn't, the rats die from stress as they get older because their little cocoon is not there. Just like helicopter parents' kids are mental wrecks when they're in college. And when they go to a workforce and they figure out that they're not the most special person in the world, their world falls apart because it's so foreign to them. Same, it even goes down to rats, people. So what should parents do? What are some of the most important things? One, let them fail. That's going to mean they get embarrassed. That's going to mean they're going to figure out if they want to be better at something instead of just someone telling them they are. They got to work for it. They got to practice a little bit. They got to use their head. You got to let them fail. Most kids today don't even know what that concept is. Because if they're going to fail on homework, parents are so worried about how they're going to get into Harvard that I've got to do it for them. Congratulations, you're making a fragile kid. You're making a weak kid. You are not being a good parent. You have to let them learn on their own. And you got to let them solve their own problems. I'm not saying you never help your children. You never talk them through some things. But why are you giving them the answer? Does the government let us fail? What does the banks have now after COVID-19? $4 trillion? See, if a bank needs a bailout after 2008, and they need a bailout now within 3 weeks, let me tell you about a group of banks that are insolvent to begin with. They need to be out. See, you learn, and the one thing in the book of Anti-Fragile, which became super clear. Do you know one of the most anti-fragile industries in this country? It's a restaurant industry. I can go to any town in the country and pick from several restaurants. It's anti-fragile. It doesn't matter if the economy's good or the economy's bad. Now, it's different when the government says shut the door because they're being helicopters. But except for this, extremely anti-fragile industry. There's food chain stuff involved. There's trucks. There's freezers. There's all these people that are involved in this. Do you know the most fragile business that you can start in America is a restaurant business? They fail all the time. It's low margin. The regulations on that are insane. The cost, the hidden cost in a restaurant, normally is what does a business in. Because it seems simple. You got $5 in a hamburger, you sell it for $10, you made 50% profit, and you still go out of business because you didn't make enough money. People have to learn this. So a restaurant individual is very fragile. The restaurant industry is anti-fragile. It doesn't care. There's always going to be restaurants. If we want to have an anti-fragile system in this country, you got to let people fail. Like banks. What's going on right now is one of the biggest thefts in the world's history of taxpayer money to rich people. And I don't mean people individual, I mean rich industries. Banking. Dude, you give me a couple of $1 billion, I promise you I can show a profit. I'll keep the business afloat, just hand me the money. If I didn't have that money and I couldn't show a profit otherwise, I wouldn't be in business. So why are banks needing this money? Because they're fragile. Why are they fragile? Because the helicopter government keeps bailing them out. So they don't have to be problem solvers. They know they get a handout whenever they want it. Some things need to fail for other things to succeed. Kids don't get a chance to learn that. Neither do Americans. I mean, my favorite example of this is when American Idol first started, and you got kids up there that their parents have lied to them their whole life about how good they are as a singer. And they sound like a cat going through a wood chipper. It's terrible. It's funny to watch. But to them, their whole world crashes down when Simon just looks at them and goes, "No, you need to find something else. You freaking suck, dude." What? Everybody says that I'm a good singer. They lied to you. Next. Think of the energy could have been spent from a kid that can't sing to doing something else. What about all these professionals in the banks that's getting bailouts when they should be failing? Where could they be where they could actually be doing something? I don't know. They don't know either because government's being a helicopter parent and keeping them in place. And guess who gets to pay for that, ladies and gentlemen? Your kids and your grandkids. It's such a good thing to have a helicopter government, isn't it? Let them fail. Let them learn. And let them solve their own problems. If our government would do what our original government intent was, that's the way this country would be ran. It'd be ran a lot more like Sweden. So when places like New York overpromise stuff to union members, down the road, people in Alabama don't have to pay for somebody else's pension. It would be up to New York or Chicago. They'd have to deal with their own problems. But luckily for them, they have a helicopter parent called the government. I think what this country needs is to understand the concept of, are we fragile or are we anti-fragile? Super, super fragile. When you look at Beirut in Syria, for about 900 years, they were the most anti-fragile society in the country. Now we look at them and it's just dysfunctional. Do you know the difference between now and 100 years ago? Probably the wealthiest per capita on average society in the last 1,000 years. Beirut in Syria. They were all business owners and tradesmen. That's just what it was. They were in empires that had enough sense at that time to leave those areas alone. And then lo and behold, after I think it was World War I or II, other people decided they knew better for them and they split them up into places where the tribes weren't exactly the same. And they started putting bigger government into those societies. The wealthier people saw what was going on and immediately left. They had a brain drain in those two societies. The people that stayed tried to work it out, and the other people that started getting free stuff, like Pelosi now wants to give everybody from the age of 16 up now $2,000 a month of government money. Syria and Beirut are two of the biggest armpits in America today when they used to be the most anti-fragile. Helicopters' governments do not build strong societies. They destroy them. I have no idea what it's going to be like in 30 or 40 years. Because now you're going to have all of these fragile kids get into a helicopter government that the only thing they know is helicoptering. I don't think it's going to be very good. It's not like a generation thing where, you know, we're tougher than they were, even though we are, and our grandparents are tougher than we were, and their grandparents were tougher than they are. But look at the way it cascades down. The more helicoptering, the weaker the society and the weaker the people. Pitiful. Americans need to learn that it's okay to fail and learn lessons from that. Americans need to learn how to learn. Not regurgitate, learn. And Americans, it pains me to say it, need to learn to solve their own problems. See, to me, if the virus is doing what they said it was going to do, which apparently it's not, the president should come on and go, look, we got a new virus. We're learning about it. It seems like you need to wash your hands a lot. It seems like you need to stay 6 feet away from people. If you're sick, for goodness sake, stay at home. Go to the hospital so they can do something for you. And don't go get your neighbor sick. See, an anti-fragile society would go, okay, we would have stayed 6 feet apart. We wouldn't have went to work sick. We would have done all the things they're trying to force us to do, except for all the craziness that all these little dictators around the country are trying to push. Because anti-fragile society would be able to go, okay, we got a problem. This is a solution. Got it. Now get back to work and get this economy straightened back out. But no, that's not what we're doing, is it? People want to have school out next year. they made it where now someone that's making $15 an hour, it's more money to stay on unemployment than it is to go back to work. There's a lot of people right now that are making minimum wage in the country because of these programs that are making $3,000 a month for not working. Do you really think they're going to want to go back to work? I wouldn't. Unintended consequences of being fragile is massive. Because it's like you drop a piece of water in still water. That one little drop you put in there, it doesn't just make a drop and quit. You got all these rings. We've all seen it. It goes out and out and out and out. That's what people that push a fragile people in a fragile society, they never look past the one drop. And they cause tremendous amount of pain because the rings of what they do keep expanding out and out and out and out. If we as a people solved our own problems, you wouldn't have all the drops hitting the water. From really what seems to be some of the most uneducated and unintelligent people in the world, which are congressmen and senators. Why in the world would we listen to them? Because if you listen to them, you realize you're not talking to somebody you would want to run anything in your business. But you're going to let them govern your life? Maybe that's just because I'm an old dude that grew up playing BB wars and fighting in swamps with snakes and hornets and riding bicycles through the hood when I was in the fifth grade. Maybe I'm warped. I don't know. But I can tell you what I'm not, and that's fragile. So you need to look at your life, I think, in an honest way. Are you living a fragile life or an anti-fragile life? If you're fragile, you can't handle shocks. You can't handle a week without pay. You can't handle getting sick. You can't handle any stress without going completely just berserk. You got work to do, man. We all do. Be anti-fragile. Be a human being. And for goodness sake, do not be a helicopter parent. And if you're in government, do not be a helicopter government. You are causing damage.